Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
A very good evening to you. Thank you so much for making time for us. What a day it's been. Really looking forward to your engagements. We're obviously going to continue the conversation around the VAT hike or none thereof. And I'd really, really like your take on this one. 086-00-00959. Voice notes as well can come through on 063-688-0959. I won't waste too much time. I want to get straight to the political reactions and all the parties that have obviously been a part of this roller coaster ride. So I'm going to start with the DA. The DA spokesperson, Karabo Gagau, is on the line with us this evening. Karabo, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Ospamelo. Thank you so much for having me. I can barely hear you on my side. And good evening to your listeners. Thank you for the opportunity to engage.
Please do alert me if the line is still shaky on your side so that we can adjust it. But Karabo, you know, lots has come through with what has transpired. And I just want you to take us through. We heard that Helen Zilla saying earlier on that they got a message from your lawyers saying that the ANC or the finance minister's lawyers had reached out. Can you maybe confirm that for us? Because it seems to be sort of ascending by the side of the ANC.
Yes, that is true. So Minister Godongwana's legal team reached out to the DA's legal team to ask for an out-of-court settlement. And obviously the reason there is very clear. The only reason why a person would ask for an out-of-court settlement is if they are of the opinion that they're not going to win the case. So instead of having to deal with the dismissal of charges and have the embarrassment of a court order, they ask for an out-of-court judgment. And that is something that is very important as far as the clarification of the truth here is concerned for us to land. I made this argument when I was Pamela. If the ANC and their backup artists in the form of Action SA, Patriotic Alliance and the lot are the true reasons why VAT was scrapped today, then Minister Godongwana would have just gone ahead to gazette his withdrawal and move on. There was absolutely no need, if that is their reasoning, for them to reach out to our lawyers to say, please, can we have an out-of-court settlement? But because the true reason here is on Tuesday when we went to court, Godongwana's team realized that there's no way under the sun they're going to win the case, and that the court was going to rule that the decision was taken was not only procedurally flawed as far as Parliament's undertaking is concerned, but also there was a constitutional breach as far as precedent on the application of the authority to impose taxes for revenue collection purposes is concerned, that they wrote to our team. Had the court case not happened, Ospamelo, we wouldn't have seen this. And I say it boldly because, Ospamelo, the ANC deploys Minister Godongwana. It is the same ANC's Godongwana that introduced the 2% that the ANC was willing to support until cabinet was like, Asizi, never done with this sort of thing. It is the same ANC's Godongwana that then came back with a revised 0.5%, which is 1% cumulatively in the next year, that tabled that VAT increase. If the ANC again was anti a VAT increase and they had every intention to find revenue collecting streams outside of VAT, then they would have told their deployee that as the ANC will resolve that it is a resolution of ours that they shouldn't be VAT. But they didn't do so because they never had an interest in scrapping VAT. And so when they told Action SA that they will consider their recommendation and all of the other people that they are lying to, that they want to engage the minister and see where else they can find the money, they were playing politics with the people of the Republic.
Okay.
And it is a problem that we must be able to call it out for what it is. There is no way you are going to go to Parliament and adopt a fiscal framework, vote for it proudly, that includes a VAT increase if you do not want that VAT increase.
All right. Karabo, let's go back a little bit. There were two parts to the papers that you filed in court. You are saying that you will continue with part two.
Yes.
Let's talk about part one. Why did you settle?
Okay. So we So we are still yet to settle formally. We haven't received the formal papers. There was an indication. We can't, because it must be settled as far as the court's interest is dubbed.
Okay, so
part one.
You have not yet settled with the ANC?
Yes, we haven't yet, because we came back lawyers. To them. Mm-hmm. So the Minister Godongwana's team came back to us with a thingiki, with a request, and then we came back with them with an alternative on what the terms of settlement must be, and then we're still waiting for a response thereof.
Okay, hold on. While you're still there.
Yes, sorry.
Okay, maybe
I have to, I said, the line is really bad, so I can't hear you. I have to put you to my ear when you talk, yeah?
No, continue. Go ahead.
So I was saying, Part A of our application was that there must be an urgent interdict on the implementation of VAT on the 1st of May on two grounds. One, the grounds of procedural irregularity, because the process that unfollowed in the Joint Finance Committee, the Select Committee that comprises of representatives of both the National Council of Provinces as well as the National Assembly on the 1st of May, on April Fool's Day, was flawed in the sense that the question of whether or not the fiscal framework is being adopted was never formally put to the table. So there was confusion on what is being voted on. But then in the consideration of the report that was tabled before Parliament for Parliament to consider the fiscal framework is not the report that was the draft report that was voted on in that committee.
Yeah.
After the committee adjourned, there was an amendment to that document. So nobody voted on the final copy of the document that was tabled before Parliament. So that is procedural irregularity number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, on constitutional irregularity, was this. There's already a precedence you would have heard in the court engagements within the province of the Northwest against a case between the Northwest MEC of the time as well as the Casino Association that wanted to mandate the MEC to tax other people of that province for purposes of revenue collection.
Mm.
Yeah,
we had lost you there for a second, but you're back, so it's okay.
Yes, so the precedence here deals with the fact that the Northwest province was mandated by the Casino Association of the time that they must tax out the people of that province for revenue collection. The Constitutional Court came back to say this is inconsistent with the provisions of the Constitution, because according to the Constitution, there's only one arm of state that can impose taxes for revenue collection purposes. That is the legislative arm of state. That means Parliament nationally, the provincial legislature provincially, and the municipal councils locally. The executive arm of state cannot do so. So it is wrong for any minister, MEC or MMC to impose taxes and expect the legislature to follow behind them, which is what we've been seeing across years, and that is constitutionally inconsistent. So that's it. But it also touches then on part B of our application, which then tests how section 7.4 of the VAT Act is inconsistent with the provision of that constitution, because the way the section 7.4 of the VAT Act is written, it gives Minister Godongwana the authority to do what he has been doing, like he did where he announced himself that there is no longer going to be VAT. But actually, according to the Constitution, Parliament should be the one that decides whether people should be taxed or not, in line with democratic principles. And then the minister gets the authority to act from the legislative arm of state, which would be Parliament. So part B still continues.
There is a proposal that you're saying was brought forward, which was, as you're saying, a request. You are saying formally you haven't been given that proposal. So why then were you quick to say you're going to withdraw the first part of your court application?
I'm going to read to you here. I want to read to you directly what exactly happened. So here's what happened. The minister's legal team approached, because I'm reading from the brief that we received from Helen Zilla properly, the brief that was given to FedEx. So the minister's legal team approached our legal team last night with an offer to settle. That offer was to set aside the fiscal framework and stop the VAT increase. We made a counter offer as we want to continue with the constitutional challenge of Section 7 of the VAT, and we want costs obviously to be tended. So after consultation with our lawyers, we made a brief and blatant statement altogether that the minister's legal team cannot ask us to settle the whole court case because Part B is still important. So that's the thing. So
I get that. I'm still at the part one part where I'm saying there are a few things for me that are still in question. So I get the fact that the urgency part is not necessary anymore because the minister himself has withdrawn the process going forward of hiking the VAT. I get that. But the issues of the procedural irregularities would have been great for all of us. That clarity would have been fantastic for South Africans. And I'm sure going forward, you as a DA would have loved to see, maybe a bit more compliance in how everybody then gets to treat the processes of dealing with the money's bills and how, for instance, you say there are things what happened, the report that was tabled was not the report that was voted on. And we all saw that with our own eyes. What I'm saying is, were you not too quick to withdraw this first part of your court application, because there are things there that I think would have been quite great for this nation to understand?
Ospamela, what's important to understand here is that the DA did not withdraw anything in court.
Okay.
There's no settlement here.
So you have not gone ahead.
Withdraw anything.
You have not formally gone ahead.
That, what happened was that the minister wrote to ask for a settlement and then he gazetted an intention to withdraw. The bottom line is that either or, whether it happens through the court or as a follow suit.
Hang on.
Yes?
I'm very confused now. Okay. So I get what the minister is doing. Are you saying, what I was hearing from Helen Zilla earlier was that you are proceeding with the very important second part of what your court application was about, the constitutionality of the minister being the one who tables and all the issues that you've put forward. And in a sense, Treasury being a very towering figure to Parliament on the issue of the budget. Are you saying that you have not gone ahead in court to withdraw the first part of your application?
No, we not haven't yet. Because okay. There's no signature of the... Yes. There's no final signature.
Got you.
Remember I said that we came back with a counter offer and we've been waiting for them to come.
Okay.
But here's where the trick... I think this is the part that you want to address as far as procedural irregularities concerned. So part of our arguments of the problem involves that. So the procedural irregularity matters not the minister's problem. That's Parliament's problem.
Yes.
So if we are to settle on part A, we can settle with the minister as far as his constitutional problem is concerned, but we can't settle with him on the procedure because it is Parliament's problem.
Absolutely.
That is the procedure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's where the issue is. And we have said from the onset that the reason why we cited Parliament is because Parliament is responsible for the boo-boo that we saw.
Absolutely.
But the consideration here is the decision by the minister to now, because of the pressure, decide to withdraw the increase of 15.5, of having VAT now at 15.5, automatically means that Parliament must go back and start from scratch. Which means in El Khafal, Parliament must go. It would have gone, the court would have ordered Parliament to start from scratch. But now the minister withdrawing says
we
in
don't
any
know
case,
that.
Parliament must start from scratch.
We don't know that, Karabo, what the court would have ordered, because we still have to wait and see what the court would have ordered.
Yeah, I'm
just saying, let's not do that, because I think when listeners listen, we really want to appreciate the fact that, you know, you are now speaking as a political leader, but that's not what we don't know what the court would have said. But I appreciate where you're coming
from. So let's say, had the court ruled in our favor, the outcome would have been
that
Parliament was going to start from scratch, which we are of the belief, and obviously the minister's team is also of the belief, because they want to settle, that we would have had to start from scratch. So the process now is that must start from scratch, which then does away with the concern of procedural irregularity because we would have had an opportunity to do things right this time.
Makes sense. Can I ask you, you may not be able to answer it or may not be in the position to do that. What would be on your table, on your offer to the minister with his proposal? What's the counteroffer?
So our counteroffer is very simple. So if you want us to drop the case of the interdict of Part A, because, okay, firstly, the only thing that we can offer as a trade is Part A.
Mm-hmm.
Because Part A, you can gazette and move forward, and then you don't have to get a court case ruling on that. We can just settle behind closed doors and agree that you were wrong, but then you want to pay money, whatever. But Part B is non-negotiable at all, because as a matter of constitutional principle, there's a breach, and that constitutionality must be cleared. There's an inconsistency between what the Act says and what the... and what the Constitution says. And the principle of administrative law 101 says a constitution is followed by an act, an act is followed by regulations.
So
they must follow each other. You can't have an act that deviates from the Constitution under any circumstance.
So
which
actually,
in this case,
the DA is actually not trading anything.
So, in political and principle layman terms, we're not.
Okay.
But the complexity about legal trade-offs is this. So when you are in court and you want to settle outside of court, it is a matter of, do I drop the charges at your concession and or not? Because what would happen is, if the court rules in favor of us, what happens, and I'm trying to answer this to my best legal mind understanding, right? Mm. So what would happen would be, if the court rules, it would probably dismiss with it with
costs,
charges and all of those other things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want that, then you want to settle, because then you don't have to pay as much as you would probably pay once the court comes and dismisses everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what this sounds like to me is that there is still a lot of negotiation that is yet to happen between the DA and the ANC. We're told that there is going to be a meeting tomorrow. Can you tell us about that meeting? Will it actually happen from your side?
It will, according to my understanding. The meeting was supposed to happen today and then it was postponed. I mean, there are many meetings that we schedule with the ANC and that they wake up and just postpone.
Okay.
Sometimes you fly over to Johannesburg, you arrive, then you're told, oopsie, let's try again sometime. So this time around, we're hoping that we're not going to fall into the trap of having meetings that are cancelled at the 59th second. So my understanding is that the leadership is either in Johannesburg or are going to Johannesburg tomorrow morning. And then the discussion will then happen. And obviously the conversation must be an honest one, Pamelo. Beyond the conversation of the fiscal framework, the budget impasse, it should be the relationship between the Democratic Alliance and the ANC and how we've treated each other moving in the past.
Mm.
And how we're able to move forward. It simply cannot make sense that when we do not agree within the GNU that I must go to court because you don't want to sit down on the same table with me to find a solution, or where now you want to go and date other people while we are in a relationship and see if those dates are successful and come back and win things that we were supposed to get in the house together. Like, it doesn't make sense. So those are part of the discussions.
Does the DA still have appetite to stay within this GNU? And I ask that based
not taken
on
the decision.
I'm saying that based on the public utterances, which have been quite jarring at times, where you are hearing ANC members saying, you know, they must go if they want to, and why would they be presiding over a budget they didn't want, and all of that. Has that meant that there are conversations within the DA about considering your position in the GNU?
I mean, I can't account for the ANC because, I mean, I don't think there's an NEC resolution on their end. So even from my side, I can't account on anything formal if there are people who say we must stay or people who say we mustn't. The bottom line is, as long as our FedEx hasn't taken a decision that is contrary to the initial one of us being in the GNU, nothing changes. And for as long as the NEC of the ANC takes a decision that is contrary to their agreement of the statement of intent, then things are as they are. So it is only if And if you want to say there are different camps or different factions vying for different positions, we will see which one wins which battle in which political party. Mm. But the bottom line is that there is no formal decision that has been taken by the federal executive of the DA on whether we are leaving the GNU.
I appreciate your time. Really, thank you so much for talking to us this evening. DA spokesperson Karabo Kakao there. And she says there's going to be a meeting. The ANC also confirmed that. Hopefully, we'll get some update as soon as that meeting has taken place. Karabo, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Ospimelo. Good night.
Well, thank you so much for your indulgence. I think it's going to get more interesting as the day goes by. Look, let's go to the EFF. EFF Treasurer General Umpile Maotwe is on the line with us this evening. Umpile, thank you so much for making time for us this evening. Good evening. All right, we're struggling with that line. And as expected, right? As expected, whenever there's load shedding, we have network problems. So all of this, please bear with us as we try and navigate ourselves around the kind of disruptions that we experience every single time there's load shedding. So maybe hands up for those of you who are in the dark at the moment, you know. How many of you are feeling cold and are in the dark at the moment because of load shedding? Was it unexpected? I don't know. As soon as they announced yesterday that we were going to have cold weather until Saturday, I could almost tell that we were headed for cold times like clockwork. Today, stage two of load shedding was announced. So, yeah, you know, and so it goes. We're also scheduled to speak to Herman Mashaba as well. Of course, Herman Mashaba, Action SA, you remember how everybody was talking about how they were duped and all of that. Well, you know, they are going to obviously tell us that, you know, we told you so. And why was that important? One of the things that any of us here cannot be sure of is the absolute and real reason why the Minister of Finance has backtracked. We don't know yet. We don't know. We are yet to understand the reasoning behind the decision. We are all speculating. I think in days and weeks or days to come, we'll get the full side of their story and the full picture. We know a few things. We know that Herman Mashaba and Action SA had presented to the minister an alternate budget, so to speak, where they were able to prove, according to them, that actually there can be money found. We don't know whether what we're going to be presented with is part of that plan. We don't know that yet. We are hearing the ANC, for instance, say, look, one of the things, considerations that the ANC, now not the minister, but the ANC was proposing to the minister was that, you know, it wasn't long after he had tabled the budget speech that SARS commissioner announced 9 billion rand that was not expected that he was able to collect, and therefore he can look at that kitty and add on to his kitty type of thing and consider other things. As I said, we are still yet to understand fully, you know, what now will be the minister's proposition. And that's going to be interesting. What I really want to also find out, to be honest with you, is whether this means that the DA, from what you could hear, the DA is going to stick this out. Either way, this idea that the VAT is no longer going to increase, I'm not getting the feeling that the ANC and the DA are moving closer. I'm not getting that feeling at all. The tension is still palpable. And the question is, how long are they going to sit this out for? So that's the question. But let me welcome onto the show Action SA leader Herman Mashaba. Dr. Mashaba, good evening and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, and I'm so sorry. I've been waiting for your call. I didn't realize this time you guys were doing it through Zoom, so I wasn't checking my Zoom messages. My apologies.
No, we also apologize on our side, Dr. Mashaba. It's the load shedding disruptions, you see.
Okay. Because since 8 o'clock, I've been waiting, I said, what do I do? I'm here.
We are here now. Dr. Mashaba, So can we ask you how much you know behind the reasons the Minister of Finance has decided to take a U-turn and not hike the VAT?
Well, I think it's not a question of the minister taking a U-turn. I think South Africans are missing a very important public document, parliamentary document. You remember on the 1st of this month of April, actually, SA in the Standing Committee on Finance, there was a long debate, and actually, SA came out with a proposal to accept the fiscal framework with a condition to get the minister to reverse VAT to give him 30 days. But obviously all of us, the parties that voted with us, the understanding was to make sure that by the 1st of May the VAT is not going to be there. But we were not just obviously making an empty pronouncement. We backed it up, I think 2 days or 3 days later, we issued a press statement that we've submitted recommendations to the minister to the value of just over 100 billion rands. And it's actually the right figure, 110 billion rands, giving him alternative revenue streams, the savings, and so forth. So we've been really working with the minister, with the ANC and other parties who also submitted their own submissions. We were working behind the scenes. So we knew this was coming. It's for that reason, I've always maintained to South Africans when they wanted to discuss with me to say, we are not, come 1st of May, South Africans are not going to have VAT. But obviously people decided to call us names, and that we were duped by the ANC. But you know what? We'll just let the process continue. By last week Wednesday, we set up this meeting to make the announcement. Last week Wednesday already, and we've got it in writing, all the political parties, we agreed with the ANC. Let's make the announcement today. So it's not something that took us by surprise. It's something that we've really been working on since the approval by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa on the 2nd of April.
So others are saying that with the current status quo, there will still be a 75 billion shortfall. You've been confident that no, with your proposals as Action SA, that will not be a thing. That will not be an issue.
Well, absolutely. It's actually the shortfall that the minister and the treasury is talking about. This is a midterm. It's not just for 1 year. It's over what, 5 years or so. It's a midterm budget. But already with the proposals we've given them, and I'm sure, I don't know, Pamela, if you're aware of the gazetting. The minister has already gazetted.
Yes.
The process to be undertaken in the next 2 to 3 months, because obviously budget is not just a 1 day event. You have the division of budget and to go through different committees. So it's already gazetted. So budget is not going to be around come 1st of May, and the Parliament will go and the committees will go through their own debates and voting and so forth. And we've got the numbers to ensure that ultimately the entire budget is passed through and really serve the people of South Africa.
Mr. Mashaba, after all of this, you still want to be an onlooker? You still not interested in being a player in the GNU? And in cabinet?
Pamela, let me just give you three or so examples that you can imagine if I'd accepted the pressure, because there was a pressure within our own structures for me to go into parliament. Mm-hmm. And I said, guys, I believe I can play a strategic role from outside. I'm not a born politician, but I'm not a cost to the party, because I don't get paid by the party to survive. In fact, I'm a big donor to the party. I said, you know, don't worry about me going to parliament. I'm not going to be a liability to you as a party. Let me give you examples. The first one was the removal of Cecilia Brink in Tshwane. Look at what Dr. Moya and our coalition government have done in Tshwane. In 6 months, honestly, they subbed up the performances over to really surprised us. Second one, look at the green umbrella concept, where Action SA, when political parties spend money, time fighting for one councillor in a by-election, Action SA, since January, we've got additional 39 councillors. without going through a by-election.
So then
39 in the last since January.
So let me got
officially.
So let me ask you differently. Maybe it's not Herman Mashaba, but Action SA itself as the party. Are they still happy to be onlookers? It may not necessarily be you, as you've pointed out, like in Tswane, but is Action SA considering being part of the GNU?
No, Action SA will consider going into the GNU if the GNU collapses. Right now, the GNU has got 70%. So honestly, they don't really need us. And we, as an Action SA, we've taken a conscious decision. We don't want to leave this space of a constructive opposition, so that we're not just the voting against whatever comes our way. We will vote on an issue-by-issue basis. Where government does good things as the GNU, we will support them. Where they fail, we will hold them accountable. So we don't want to leave that space. But in the event of the GNU collapsing and ANC needs the support, because we took this decision to vote for this fiscal framework, because we had what I really would call a traitor called the DA, which wanted to collapse our country to not have to have the budget. And we said, as Action SA, we debated this as Senate. We said, we are not prepared. We can have differences with the ANC. We're not friends with the ANC, but we are not going to allow a political party like the DA to collapse our country's economy, because they want the ANC to reverse progressive issues of social justice that have been over many years of the apartheid era, colonialism, even including ANC failures. So we said we can't really do away with these programs. There's got to be social justice in this country. So the DA overplayed their hand. They thought ANC will not get help to save them. And we were there not only to save the ANC, was to save our country. We are saying, as patriots, you threaten our country, we'll mobilize other black people to say, guys, let us forget our differences. Let us stand together here, because we've got forces that are saying there are bad things happening in our country when there's nothing happening. So we got together, we are great. We're going to really save our country, but also save our country from VAT, because we made it clear to the ANC to say, you know what, we will support on condition that we give us an undertaking. You work with us to remove VAT, and we'll give you options if you don't know. Here are the options: 110 billion rands of revenue streams and saving, fighting corruption. So what we are saying as Section SA, if the GNU survives, good luck for them. Let them continue. Action SA will remain as a constructive opposition. Wow. However, if it collapses, Action SA is not going to just be excited with positions. We will first have to agree with all the parties. We get together for a couple of days to iron out our coalition agreement, not the GNU and a statement of intent. Legally binding that we must share with South Africa, said these are the terms of our government, how we're going to operate. This bloated cabinet, we've got to dramatically reduce it, just as an example of one of the things that will be on the table.
All right.
Once we can pass that and we sign that, that's the only time Action SA can consider participating in a coalition arrangement, not the government of national unity, where there was never unity even from the beginning.
Action SA's Herman Mashaba, thank you so much for your time. I think we now are able to get through to Umphile Maoti. Earlier on, we tried, and that line was not responding very well. EFF's Treasurer General is on the line with us. Thank you very, very much, Umphile, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you, Pimelo, and to the listeners of KFM.
We've been struggling to connect, so we apologize for keeping you holding. You know, I just wanted to reflect a little bit, and I was telling my colleague earlier that for me, what's been interesting is how we need to take responsibility of tracking the timeline of what has happened. And as I recall it, the Finance Committee, Standing Finance Committee in Parliament, sat down for its fiscal framework conversation, the very first people to say, hang on, before we go very far, can we discuss whether we are going to be adopting a particular position or not? In other words, addressing the procedural things and elements of what is now being part of yourselves and the DA's court papers that has got us here, I think. I mean, I don't know why the minister has changed their mind, but I think it's a very big moment for you as the EFF because you may have been responsible for where we are right now.
No, absolutely, Pimelo, you are correct. So, as members of parliament, we are lawmakers. Our primary job in parliament is to make laws. And you can't make the laws and trample over those same laws that you have made. Mm. So we are guided by the laws in this country. The specific law that guides the budgeting process right now is the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, which is very clear that the minister tables his fiscal framework and revenue proposals in parliament. The minute he steps out of that podium, he leaves the proposal with parliament. It becomes a document of parliament. And section 7, subsection 1 then says, parliament must then establish a standing committee on finance and then a standing committee on appropriations, which must jointly go and do public participation. That's section 7, subsection 2 of the Money Bills Act. Once you've done that, because the public needs to voice out their consents or their agreement or their disagreement with what has been tabled by the minister, which is now a product of parliament. Pimelo, nobody's speaking about this. Out of 48 stakeholders who came to present before parliament, 46 said, we do not want VAT. That makes 98% of the stakeholders. From that time, the minister should have known or ought to have known that something is not right. More so that he attempted to table this very budget in February with 2%. Mm. And there was a big noise. And then he had to retreat. But he retreated to 1%, which is essentially 1 in 2 years. Mm. That's fine. And then we went to sit as the Standing Committee of Finance. Now, another point which is very fundamental is the fact that the ANC needs to stomach the fact that they have not won the outright majority. They are not enjoying the majority in parliament. And therefore, it's no longer business as usual. It's no longer the case where they will come and they will know that they will outnumber us in committees. In the Standing Committee of Finance, at the moment, we are 11, including Action SA, which sold out, by the way. I was listening to their leader just now. I mean, hogwash, like, you know, blowing hot air. But it's fine. We are very patient. We will teach them the law because we're not talking from emotions here. We're talking what the law says. The law says you are correct. Section 7, subsection 4 says when the standing committee meets after having conducted the public participation, they have to decide and have a clear statement on whether they are amending the fiscal framework and revenue proposal or they are accepting as it is. Pamela, you can't accept and say, I'm accepting on condition that. That's not acceptance. You can't accept and say, I still recommend. There's no provision for that. In the law, not in the Shebins or in the offices of Kaya FM, the law does not have provision for that. And that's what we spoke about on that day.
So
now,
sorry. So what I'm curious about is we are hearing the federal chair of the DA say they got a call from the finance minister's lawyers to say, let's talk, let's settle out of court. You yourselves were in court. Has anybody reached out to you?
Yes, they did. And we said no. Okay. Why we are saying no, Pimelo, is we are where we are now. This is now in almost the end of April. We've gone through this process, the entire process. Even after this, the Standing Committee of Finance, unprocedurally, illegally, unconstitutionally, I don't know what they did. I can't even say they adopted the report. Mm. We wrote to the Speaker and told the Speaker the process was flawed.
Yep.
Don't do this thing. The Speaker still proceeded, went to the House. Even inside the House, we explained and we said to them, I remember my concluding debate, if you continue with this, we're taking you to court. No one listened. Mm. ANC became so arrogant. We went to court, we wasted money, we called senior counsels who could have been better used somewhere else. Our country is marked with high levels of crime. They could have been used somewhere else. We had to bring them. We had to say to the court, court, please, our matter is urgent. Drop everything that you're doing and give us an ear. We need, we seek relief from you. The court granted us that.
Okay.
The minister is coming today because he's got an egg on his face. There's no way, Pimelo, and I'm saying this, you can record this conversation. It's recorded. There's no way the minister is going to win against our argument of deceit. Our argument, a very strong argument, is the argument that says public power must not be procured through deceit means. What am I meaning by that? The minister had an exchange with Action SA, promised them that, no, well, look, we see what you can do with this vet. Nina, just vote with us. But in his replying affidavit, under oath, minister says, I've never said that. I was very clear from the beginning. So he went to procure public power through deceitful means. That's a member of the cabinet. That's the executive who is going against his own oath of office. Korongwani is sitting in Washington right now, but surely he was watching the proceedings. Surely he had a briefing from his lawyers who are saying to him, you will never pass that test of deceit. And it's actually an embarrassment to have a minister of finance misleading the public, soliciting public power through deceitful means. Godongwana must resign, and must resign with immediate effect if he wants to retain his integrity, because you can't. There's no way. That's point number one. Point number two, the lawyers of parliament, of the speaker, they were there in court. They say the EFF is right, is correct.
Mm-hmm.
The fiscal framework mm-hmm. and revenue proposal was never adopted
mm-hmm.
because it was not in the agenda.
Mm.
That's what she said, that woman. And okay, so what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with a report that was adopted illegally and procedurally. But what is more interesting, Pimelo, is that, as I said when I started, we are guided by the law. The minister, if today he gazettes a withdrawal of the VAT increase, where are we? We should find ourselves somewhere. We can't just find ourselves nowhere in the vacuum. And that's what we're doing. We're writing to the speaker now to say, okay, he says he's withdrawing. Which law is he following? Where does the law say he can do what he did? Where does the law say you can table a fiscal framework and revenue proposal? It can go through all these processes which are outlined in the law. And if flawed or not, it found itself in the House. It was voted for by the House. It's no longer Godongwani's. It's now the budget of that is approved by the National Assembly and the NCOP. Yours is to go and implement. What do you implement? You implement what is in the fiscal framework. What is in the fiscal framework? Mm-hmm. The 0.5% increase by the 1st of May. That is what is in the fiscal framework. So when he withdraws it, exactly where are we? The Programming Committee of Parliament said this morning they withdrew the Division of Revenue a bill meeting and the appropriations from the program.
Mm.
They are attempting to bring back the fiscal framework and the revenue, the budget back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which process are we at? What is that guided by? That will be version 3 of the budget in this financial year alone. So exactly where are we? Because once the budget has gone through that process, the only way to reverse it, it's through legal process.
Law.
And that was confirmed even by the chairperson of the standing committee, Dr. Joma Swanganya, said there's no way the minister can withdraw VAT. It will have to be a legal process.
Yeah.
What is a legal process? It's what the EFF and the DA did by going to court, to seek a relief from court. So the minister knows that he can't. He will have to explain where does he get those powers of playing as yo-yo, like we've got nothing to do. What is more painful, Pimelo, is that this could have been avoided. Now we've wasted so much time going up and down like yo-yos. A man doesn't even know the rules of the same assembly that, you know, he partakes in, and then we find ourselves in. But here he's trying to buy face. He's trying to save himself from the embarrassment, because there's just no way. Court on Tuesday is going to rule in favor of the EFF, and the minister will have to reverse this whole thing. So the minister is sitting there, but knows very well that the court will reverse, but also the court will make a proper ruling on his conduct as the member of the executive, that he went to solicit and procure public power through deceitful means. You can never pass that test. He will never.
EFF Treasurer General, appreciate your time. Mpile Mote. Interesting days ahead, and obviously we'll be here to tell you all about it. I've got a voice note coming through as well, just to react on all that we've been hearing this evening. And after that, we speak to risk analyst and former diplomat, Dr. Kingsley Makubela.
Good evening, Pimelo and the Kaya listeners. So what we just heard here from the DA representative, it's just a lame excuse, and it's so sad that these guys are playing politics to the core. And their PR is very good. That's why in most cases you find that they actually out-debate ANC in whatever discussions they engage. First of all, let's not forget the fact that the DA's bread is buttered both sides. They are both the markets and the government. So the VAT increase really would have boosted markets in a sense that they could have adjusted their prices in a sense that they could cover the shortfalls of the VAT. But now, however, they're playing this card as if they have our best interest at heart. No, we know their demands, and their demands were not met. So now as a sign of retaliation, then they go against this VAT increase. But they were ready to vote for this budget had their demands were met. So they mustn't come here and just play politics. They're dealing with different South Africans now. We are clued up, we follow current affairs, and we have noticed how they play politics through their PR. And this is just a PR stunt, because she's assuming a lot of things that she assumes if the DA had won the case, this is what could have happened, this is what not could have happened. So basically, it's just some swap story that she's telling us here. But we know the real fact that this is a war between the government.
Voice note, Pimelo Mutine on WhatsApp.
063-688-0959.
Point of view.
Keep connected with us.
Kaya 959.
On the street.
On the air. Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.